Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started. Cover the sea. Now, Scripture says, if I'm not mistaken, that the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
But the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So there is my hope. Mm-hmm. There is my optimism. There is my faith to believe things can be better.
Yes.
And they will. They're going to get better. They will.
Well, God's promised it, and he's going to perform it.
That's right.
And the resurrection of Jesus is the proof of it.
Yes. It's giving assurance to all men.
Yeah.
That's what Paul told them heathen pagans at Athens.
Yeah.
Keep going back to that. I really like that passage. There's some revelation in there.
Yeah, it's just currently where the Lord's feeding your soul.
Yeah. Man.
Well, all right. I remember there was, I think a little bit, how we used to talk about this in Old Testament prophecy class about the mountain peaks of prophecy.
Oh, yeah.
In things about what we would call the first and second coming of Christ or one or two events.
Yeah.
And that sometimes there's a period of time between the two events. But as the prophet's looking at them, it looks like it's one event. But yet there's a gap of time between the two in the experience.
Like two mountain peaks.
Yeah.
You see them at a distance. They look side by side, but if you come off over here somewhere.
Yeah, from a different angle.
There's a distance.
Yeah. You just see the two peaks like this instead of like this.
You think there's something to that? What are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is if the idea behind it is that if the prophet spoke about two things, and even if he talked about it like it was one event.
Yeah.
And there's this period of time between them. If the first one happened, you can rest assured the second one will happen in time. And there's a hope in that.
Yeah. So Isaiah 65, I think it is, talks about the blessings of the new covenant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about what is to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there somewhere in there talking about the reaper overtaking the harvest or something?
The reaper overtaking the sower.
The sower, that's right.
Yeah.
So you ain't going to hardly get the seed in the ground and you're going to reap a harvest.
Right, yeah.
Basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you can apply that to whatever you sow.
Well, again, it takes the time element out.
Yeah.
Okay. Jumping scriptures, but trying to keep the thought. John 4, where Jesus says, "Say not 4 months, then comes the harvest." Mm-hmm. I say to you, behold, lift up your eyes.
The fields are white.
The fields are white. Now, I know some literalists will say, "Well, he's just talking about that situation and what was going on there in that city in Samaria. And I probably had to say, okay, yeah, I'll give you that. But is he not alluding to something different, though, that's in there? May not be the primary thought or teaching. Yeah. But I go back to this. It's in Adam we get time conscious and time caught up.
That's right.
Nothing's too hard for him.
Yeah, thinking about that, I'll go back to one of my favorite scriptures where Jesus said, the time is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe good news. It's fulfilled.
Right.
The kingdom is at hand. All that's lacking is a change of mind and belief in the good news. Of what? What? The kingdom is at hand.
Yes. Well, okay.
No time. I mean, how long does it take to believe?
Well, the, okay. That scripture, Mark
1:14-15,
yeah. My understanding in the Greek language, they had two words for time. One is chronos, and the other is kairos. Chronos is chronology, and it's like, think of it as linear time.
Yeah.
And in kairos, which is a specific moment in time.
Yeah.
And in Mark, it's now is the time. Now is the kairos, the moment in time.
Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
And when you begin to think like Jesus with the mind of Christ in the new humanity, you realize that it is always now in the kingdom.
Yes.
That
yes.
The I am is present. The kingdom is breaking in now. It's an ever-increasing, ever-expanding kingdom, and it is available at this moment.
Yes.
Now, you can ignore it, doubt it, deny it, fight it. All that's possible, but it doesn't change the reality, is that God's kingdom is available. It's at hand to everybody all the time, because that kingdom is within you. That's the first thing. It is within you.
That's right.
And he is wanting to bring out his righteousness and peace and joy.
His rule.
His rule. That's his rule and reign. That's the hallmarks of his rule and reign. And it starts there and then shows up outside.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's good. It's the only kingdom that can exist without its king.
Yeah.
Other kingdoms may. Lesser. So he's present.
Always. Now, our sense of that is what changes.
Yeah.
And because I think there's a couple of things there. Our sense of it, our faulty belief system or bad theology. And that goes back to our inability to properly explain our human experience of when something happens. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
Argument that comes about, how we wrestle with that, and it just continually exposes bad theology.
Yeah. Well, I keep going back. Since you said it, my mind keeps working back to it. Those three spiritual gifts you talk about, faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
In any moment in time, if we can get the revelation of the King and his kingdom, we can have faith.
Right.
That he is king and that his kingdom does rule. He does reign. And we can have hope for the future. Meanwhile, living in love, being loved and loving others, and living loved and lovingly, you know, it's just that faith, hope, and love. That's good.
Yeah. Can I live in love with the people around me? Can I have hope in the midst of difficult situation?
I can if I have a revelation.
Yeah, and then can I believe God is good?
Yeah,
we have good news.
Yeah. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I didn't realize when I filmed the introduction to our show, that it was so fitting.
Well, yeah.
The name of it, and that my introduction of this, you know, and I don't say nothing. I just quote that scripture.
Right.
We're discovering the goodness of God.
Yeah. Know,
that He was in Christ, reconciling the world, not imputing their trespass. And that defines my life, I think. That, I don't know how to say that, but that, I live there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's where we abide, or live there, or live from.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many things in our day-to-day existence that's trying to push us or draw us away from it.
Yeah.
Rather, it's false teachings from people or ideas, circumstances that are stressful or difficult, temptations that arise. And can you pause in those moments and remind yourself of what's true? Realize that nothing, even this, separates me from His love.
That's good. Here's some thoughts I had when you were saying that.
Oh, good. Trying to prime your pump.
I don't know if it's really thinking about this relationship that we have with our Father. Why was it? I mean, it's basically 1,500 years before the Bible gets into the people's hands.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe the Lord, I mean, maybe He had something to do with that. I know He did, but maybe He was holding that off for a little bit. You know, and now we got, I mean, you don't only get a Bible, you can get 50 different translations.
Yeah, on my phone.
At the bookstore. Or, on your phone.
Yeah, free on my phone.
But what I was thinking about was, and I'm thinking about a comment somebody made to get back to the Bible. You're a father, I'm a father. How many of our kids did we bring into the world? And when they got here, you know, we gave them a book. Here, learn how to relate to me. This is about me. Learn of me.
Right.
None.
Yeah.
But what did we do?
Yeah.
I don't know that I did it well.
No.
But I spent time with them. Not as much time as I might would like to have. But it's a relationship, father and son. It's time. It's face to face. And I guess all I'm saying is, probably since we got the book, we've focused on the book.
Yeah.
Instead of learning how to relate to Him.
Yes.
As our Father.
Yeah, we're better. We have a better relationship with a book than we have with God.
Oh, yeah. And I guess my point of all that is, I don't believe God intended us, or He intended, especially, I'll say this, He didn't intend the King James Bible, Scofield edition, to be the third member of the Trinity, or any other Bible.
Well, all right, go back to what is mentioned on the in the new covenant. I'll write my laws on their heart.
Put them in your mind.
And
that's
I'll
right.
Put them in your mind.
See, we can't even read the book and get that.
Well, nobody disciples us in that.
You
go to seminary and you get education about
expository.
Which I'm not knocking. I'm not knocking seminary or the instruction there.
No, but the whole point of the book is to point to Him, the relationship with Him.
Yes.
Not argue over a point of doctrine about Him.
Right.
And the only way to learn how to relate to somebody is spend time with them.
Well, yeah.
Awareness. Being in the presence.
But the idea, since he's omnipresent and always indwelling, can you stay consciously aware of his presence everywhere you go, no matter what you're doing?
Yeah.
It's not just your quiet time. No, you and I both have quiet time every day.
I wasn't trying to say that.
I know you weren't. I'm just trying to clarify somebody misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Not knocking quiet time. I have it. I have lots of it. But can I also stay aware of his presence?
Yeah.
Just any other time in life, in regards to what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I hear him?
Can I hear him? Can I hear him in the voice of another? Mm-hmm. Rather, you and I, like now, we're having obvious conversations about the Lord.
Yeah.
But what if I'm just with somebody I just met and we're talking about a ball game?
Yeah.
But can I see the image of God in him, listen for the voice of God through him?
Yes. And that's good.
Because we just don't know people after the flesh anymore. We're trying to learn them after the spirit.
That's right. When I see a man, I see my brother.
Yeah, it's my brother. I see Jesus. Now, they may not believe it. They may not know it. They may not act like it.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
but can I see it?
Yeah.
It goes back to faith.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
No, I was looking about now that faith has come.
Uh-huh. What is that talking about?
Well, I was looking to see kind of how the passion did all that.
There's old Sally Baker grave right there.
Yeah.
Right just inside that little sapling. Where it's all going in. Just a slab of concrete there. I mean, that's a grave. But no headstone or anything. This is a spooky place tonight.
I bet it is. Anyway, in Galatians 3, there's some wording there. Talks about before faith came and then, but after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor.
Yeah.
For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The idea about when Christ came, faith came.
Yeah. Truth and grace. John said it.
Yeah, that Jesus had a faith that was unwavering because he was fully convinced that what the Father, Son, and Spirit had envisioned was a reality in humanity.
Yes. Even though you couldn't see it.
Though no human could see it,
yeah.
He could see it.
After that faith has come.
Yeah.
What was he talking about?
The coming of Jesus.
In that passage. I mean,
well, he was talking mainly about the law, the purpose of the law.
Oh, so in there somewhere there was a... Isaac and Ishmael.
Yeah.
Son of promise.
Yes. You are as Isaac, children of the promise.
As Isaac was, yeah.
Yeah, as Isaac was, so were you or something.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Children of promise.
Children of promise. Yeah. God promised a child to Abraham. And that promise was fulfilled in Isaac. Mm-hmm. It was not Ishmael.
Yeah.
That came through Abraham and his self-efforts with Hagar.
Yeah. Self-efforts, that's a good way to put it. His sexual relations.
Yeah, self-effort.
He was just trying to make it happen.
Well, yeah, he's just doing what he could. Like I said, to the human mind.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
Made sense.
I don't understand it, but...
Well, no.
That was a different culture, too, back then.
Well, that's true.
Of course, Abraham, when God called him, he was a worshiper of false gods.
Yeah.
Pagan. Abraham out there worshiping gods, and one day God says, hey, come go with me.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. You know, he didn't know Yahweh from the next god he was worshiping.
Yeah. He became a monotheist then.
Yeah. So after that faith has come, what did it say?
We are all sons of God by faith. And we're no longer under a tutor.
Huh.
He's describing humanity. This goes back to the big picture of humanity.
Yeah.
Looked at as community versus individuality.
Yeah.
But he's looking broadly at all of humanity, or maybe the nation of Israel even, that were under the law, that it had a purpose to bring us to a place of maturity. And but now we're at that place of maturity.
Yeah.
Biblically, we are children of God, but we are also sons of God. Son meaning... It's not gender specific of male. It's son meaning heir. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God.
Yeah.
And that is our current position.
That's right.
And as such, it's to be looked at in the context of a family business relationship that we are... as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We are joining our Father and participating in the stewarding of His resources, His kingdom, His business with Him, as Him, in a like manner that He would, but in partnership with Him, never acting independent or of Him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. What did it say? I know you said, you know, we're sons, and there's children of... He talked about a heaven above, and a, right?
Oh, you backing up there to
born
read.
Above. Well, that's the context of it. But then in chapter 5, he says, what? Verse 1, he says something about staying fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free.
Yeah. Yeah, we have liberty because we're children. One, we're not slaves. We're sons. And we have freedom. And he compared that slavery to back being under the law. It was a yoke of bondage.
Now we got a yoke of freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Stand fast in the freedom. What kind of freedom? Christ has made us free. That resurrection life. New life, abundant life. Oh, I don't know how to say it. no restraints. You're free. Fields of grace.
Yeah. Well, you're free from any worry that you could be separated from His love. You are free from anything interfering with the Father's opinion about you or His or the relationship that you have. It is so secure. You're free.
That goes back to the assurance that He's given to all men by raising Him from the dead.
Yeah.
Free to be me.
Well, you have the freedom. Like I think about it like as a child. A child is free. He's not carrying the weight of the responsibilities of paying the bills. You're free from that stress and worry of what am I going to eat and wear and have.
Yeah.
Because the Father provides that. You're free from sin, its power, and its consequences.
I'll tell you something the Lord is trying to free me of.
What's that?
This is some of the conversations we had, the Father and I. Is a freedom from a fear of a wasted life.
That's a good one, James.
Because living in relationship with Him, not concerning myself with matters of purpose, whatever. I can trust Him with tomorrow because I can trust Him with today.
Yeah.
And if I trust Him with today, my tomorrows will be...
They take care of themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's something I'm having to learn because my old... I think I told you, I can't ever get the wording right, but the shadowy vestiges of my religious upbringing. Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way in experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website at findingourway.co.